This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. We have an all-pro tight end set to join us, a Super Bowl-winning tight end as well here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. They're with Caddx Cleats, a cleat company producing American football and women's multi-sport cleats like soccer. And they have these flexible smart studs that help reduce rotational force that's responsible for knee and ankle injuries. This is amazing. I think it's really cool technology. And he is a first-round pick by the Ravens in the 2001 draft, 10 seasons with the Ravens, two-time Pro Bowler, matchup nightmare, joined by Dennis Pitta, Super Bowl-winning tight end of the Ravens. And a good afternoon, gentlemen. How the heck you guys doing?
We're doing great. Great to be on with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You bet, man. So this, we'd love to dive into your story, but I just love this. I'm a girls soccer coach, and this is our number one worry is these girls and their ACL tears.
No question. And that these are specifically built for, you know, cleated sports, but women in particular. And we have a girl, Kayla Sharples, who's on our advisory board, and she's a professional soccer player. She plays for the Kansas City Current, and she's loved these cleats, and she's sharing them. We've got so many more girls adopting this. We've got some of the top lacrosse players in the country from colleges all across the country wearing them. But the impetus of these cleats, and it has smart stud technology, and it's been in the works for a long time, 8 to 10 years now. And our founder, I found it on social media, and I reached out to the CEO. I found the web, went on the website, emailed him. He got back in touch with me probably inside of 5 minutes, which was pretty random. I found out the reason for that. It's because he's from Baltimore.
Oh, there you go.
And so just purely coincidence, but it's a young guy from Baltimore. He's 29 years old, Jack Rasmussen, and he's had this idea 10 years ago, and it's been in the works for that long. Caddx, the company, has only been in existence for about a year, though. And so Dennis and I joined about 8 months ago, and I saw it on social media, and I saw it, and it literally pricked my mind right away. I was drawn to it. Where was this when I was playing? I thought back to my first major ankle injury in 2004. Baltimore Ravens, we'd just gone to field turf, as a lot of teams were at that time. And I thought back, we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers the second game of the season. Jamal Lewis cuts back on the backside. I'm blocking on the backside. Jonathan Ogden, our all-pro, all-everything, best left tackle to ever play the game, picks up Kimo Van Olhoffen from the Steelers, their defensive tackle. So it's 375 pounds, picking up 350 pounds and just throwing him into my knee.
Ouch.
So in that process, my knee hit the ground sideways. My cleat stuck completely in the turf. Didn't move. I thought my knee was gone. What ended up happening, my ankle ended up basically tearing in half. And so that affected the rest of my career. You know, and I thought back to that, and it was just a what if. And I saw this, and I was like, there's no way this works. There's no way this works. And I had many conversations with Jack Rasmussen and the guys who helped develop it, the biomechanical engineers. Dennis and I brought him on board to see what his interest level would be. But we did 3 or 4 months of due diligence, of a lot of work and looking into it. And we're so impressed, we wanted to get involved. And so,
what kind of performance are you seeing, or stat reduction, I guess, in injuries?
So we've seen 13 to 18% reduction in rotational force, which is responsible for those non-contact injuries. And, different testing shows different things, but and different movements. But that's huge when you talk about non-contact injuries. You know, when you're trying to make a cut in the turf, especially on field turf, but even on grass too, that your cleat can get stuck.
Yeah.
And when this gives just a little bit, all of these, it's like having a labrum in your shoulder. All these studs can move and rotate in all directions. They can swivel 360 degrees. And so that added level of security and that give allows your cleat to really give out of the front. And I thought that's going to affect performance. Yeah. All the testing we've done and that they've done for years now has shown that there's no reduction in performance. And we've had, major colleges do a lot of testing with us. And like I said, a lot of engineers have done it. We've done the testing, BioCore testing in Virginia, and it's nothing but great feedback. But the most important feedback is from players.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've got 20 guys that have put these – 20 guys in the NFL that wore these cleats this year, starting with Joe Flacco. He wore them in the preseason, liked, and he wore them all season long, liked it so much, he became an investor as well. Obviously, he's a friend of ours, but he tried them out and liked them and wanted to invest as well. Guys like Matthew Judon. So we've got these on big guys, defensive ends coming off the edge. Juan Thornhill, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. the starting safety the last two Super Bowls. Now he's with the Cleveland Browns. He put them on his feet in midseason, which I would never have done.
So that's what I was going to ask.
There's
you.
Nothing. Yeah. And this is our first year in existence.
Sure.
So these guys are trying these, and they're so impressed with them. They're putting them on their feet in the middle of the season, and they're wearing them in games.
Right.
I would have never done that.
Right.
And that's the feedback, and the feedback and the response amazing. From these guys has been incredible. So
yeah, you tight ends are a fickle group. When it comes, I remember Jason Witten.
Oh,
Jason Witten, if he could have painted his old Tennessee Volunteer college helmet and worn that, he would have done that.
My son makes fun of me because I have all of my helmets that I wore in the games.
There's like two?
No. They're all the exact same. There's 10 of them, but they're all the exact same helmet with the exact same only one that was different was the one when I got to the Cardinals because they didn't have my helmet anymore.
Yeah.
And so, I was a creature of habit as well. But I look at this, and we see it. The vision of this is going to change cleated sports going forward.
Right.
Well, and there's been so much talk lately in the NFL in particular about player safety.
Sure.
Right? It's been such a huge emphasis, and largely with CTE and helmets. And so there's been so much innovation and focus poured into helmet safety and trying to make helmets better and shoulder pads as well. There hasn't been a lot of innovation in cleats. As long as I've been wearing cleats, and certainly Todd's a lot older than I am, right? And so Todd's been wearing cleats for a really long time.
I just had to teach Dennis everything he knows. That's all I had to do.
That's right. An old guy like Todd who's been wearing cleats for forever, the cleats have largely been the same.
Right.
The molds have changed a little bit on the bottom just design-wise and all that kind of stuff, but there has not been any great innovation in that space in particular. And so this is really a breakthrough in cleated innovation. And so the ability for these studs to rotate, to spin 360 degrees, to flex in every direction, it takes that load, that repetitive load off your knees and your ankles that even just through the course of a practice, you're going to feel fresher when you get done. But certainly with those non-contact injuries, which can be so frustrating in sports. Right. I mean, my career was riddled with hip injuries, unfortunately.
Sure.
I had three of them, and it cut my career short. And had I had something like this, now it may not have prevented all injuries, right? Because we're not saying this prevents all injuries. I mean, football is inherently an incredibly dangerous sport. The injury rate in the NFL is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get injured at some point, but if we can somehow mitigate and reduce some of these non-contact injuries, when your cleat gets stuck in the turf and your body's trying to go the other direction and you suffer a high ankle sprain, or you suffer an ACL tear, whatever it may be, I think that, we're doing our job. And so seeing this kind of innovation certainly is what drew Todd and I initially to this product. And now having worked with it for about 8 months, I mean, it's awesome. And the the amount of eyes and just kind of the interest that we're seeing from everybody from youth sports to professional athletes has been incredible. And it's made us believe even more in this product because you see the interest that it garners everywhere we go. And so, yeah. Like Todd mentioned, we have all kinds of NFL guys wearing them now, even more that reach out to us every day that want to wear them, try them, all that kind of stuff. And everybody doesn't want to take them off their feet because not only are they innovative and awesome from the plate, but they're more comfortable. And comfort's a big thing, certainly for me and for a lot of athletes.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, you were talking about these edge rushers. I'd love to see if I was running a team, I'd say, hey, let's look at these cleats for our edges. You know, as much as they try and bend that corner and sharpen, you know, you see a lot of guys' knees buckle, ankles buckle, you know, trying to capture that edge.
They're focused on getting low and shin
exactly.
angle. I mean, it's
give me some rotation where
exactly.
I can get my guys on the level of those quarterbacks. Yeah,
And the important thing about cleats, and forever, cleat companies have said, how can we get more traction out of them,
right?
Because traction equals performance in a lot of cases. If I can stick my foot in the ground and not have any slippage,
right.
I can change direction faster. But there's a fine line there because I want traction and I need to have optimal traction. But when my cleat has to get out of the ground,
right.
I need that to happen fast as well. And so this really covers both of those aspects. And that's what makes this so innovative. It's an awesome product, to be completely honest, and we're thrilled to be a part of it.
I'm really interested. The website, caddix.com, caddix.com. I'm definitely going to get a pair ordered for my kid and, you know, explain to her the science. I mean, 16 to 18% is huge. It's Dennis Pitta and Todd Heap with us here on The Fan. Man, I would love to get your thoughts, Todd. We're all dads on the show on Hugs for Holly. And how you go about picking up the pieces, because that's our conversation among dads. Like, where do you go after that?
No, it's tough, and sometimes it's hard to talk about. But I'm at a place where I'm at peace with everything. And for us, Hugs from Holly Days is a day to remember my daughter and the brightness and the joy and the hope that she brought to our lives. And so that's what our focus was. And it wasn't my idea. It was actually my wife's best friend who had the idea and brought it up to us, and it was such a great idea. We were so excited about it that we obviously adopted it, and we celebrated May 3rd on her birthday. Mm. And so every May 3rd, that's our thing. We do Hugs from Holly. We call it Hugs from Holly Day, and we go around doing acts of service. And it's spread over social media. You can go on social media and see it, and it's spread. And we do different things every year. Sometimes we'll go to a hospital, a children's hospital, and we'll give away books and bears and different things to kids. Or sometimes we'll go, you know, deliver things to people across town. But or you can do something as easy as paying for the person behind you in line at sure. at Wendy's, which was we always hit Wendy's because my daughter loved the chicken nuggets at Wendy's.
Oh, fire. Who doesn't?
And so so that, you know, we just try to do as many things as we can on that day. And like I said, you know, we know what this life's all about. I know I'm going to get to see my daughter again someday. But in the meantime, while we're here, we can spread joy. And we want to share that with everybody else. That's what Hugs from Holly Day is all about, is sharing the joy and happiness that we all have here on this earth that we can share with everybody else to brighten their day. And if you can find joy even in the worst of times, if you can find joy even in the worst and the hardest of trials, that's you can share that with others. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about giving and sharing that joy with others. That's what brings joy to your life. You know, that's why doing things for charity, doing things for others is so important. Giving to others is so important. Sharing that love and that joy with others is so important because it takes the focus off of yourself and it puts the focus on where it needs to be. And that's outside of yourself, with your neighbor, with your friends, with the people in the community. And that's what holidays turned into me. My daughter's birthday has turned into me is a joyful day. You know, a day to remember her and her bright smile and her bright influence and that way to share that with others.
Well, God bless you, man. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Real quickly, who do you guys have in the game?
I'm the biggest fan of Andy Reid there is, so I can't go against Andy Reid. As much as I don't want a three-peat, I don't know if any of us do, I'm rooting for Andy Reid.
Yes, sir. Caddix.com, CADDIX.com for those cleats that'll help your athlete out. Todd Heap, Dennis Pitta, thank you so much for joining us here on your home of the Cowboys.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys.
Salute to you. All righty. When we come back, it is the 340 segment. Andrew Zimmern, one of Brian's favorite TV personalities, great cook, joins us next year.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the GBAC Nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Man, it's been a heck of a whirlwind here for the last, I don't know, hour and a half, I guess, since the show started with everything that's been going on. NBA trade deadline, Mavs didn't do anything. We had Emmett Smith on at 3 o'clock. Then we had Todd Heap on at 3:20. You can go back and listen to anything that you missed with the Odyssey app. Obviously, YouTube with the rewind functionality there, Twitch as well. And we're standing by now for one, maybe the number one, Brian, number one world celebrity chef. Does anybody else know we're on? I'm looking across the table right now at Broadus and Chiafalo, who are staring at their phones. I don't.
Yeah, Broadus is chilling right there.
Guys, the show is back. Brian, the show is back.
That's
we. We're on the air. And we're getting ready for Andrew Zimmern here.
I was checking out stuff.
I know celebrity chefs and food is a big passion of yours.
It's huge.
Is Andrew number one as far as the chef celebrities?
I think that when Andrew, what I really like about Andrew is he has the ability to adapt. When you get into some, like, the Gordon Ramsay stuff,
yeah,
Gordon will teach you how to do some things that are high end. I mean, but it's difficult. You know, it's his, you know, even cooking scallops. You know, how long do you cook them? How when do you flip them? You know, it just things like that. I think with Andrew, he's more of a, to me, he's teaching me, but he's doing more of the foods than I would. Now he's been all over the world. You know, eating.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's more like an adventure culture type of food host, right?
He's eating grasshoppers. He's doing. But when you watch some of his basic, when it comes to making just a damn chicken pot pie or something like that, he's got the way to make it and explain it to where it's, okay, I understand. And that's one of the great things I love about these YouTubes and, you know, and these chefs are now all being a part of that and cooking, you know, taking 12 to 15 minutes of making these videos and kind of explaining their techniques and stuff like that.
So Sami Khedira is going to join us, the Real Madrid and Germany soccer star here coming up at 4 o'clock. They're on a tour promoting World Cup, and we'll talk to him about the Champions League and his career and Ronaldo and all the cool soccer stuff coming up at 4 o'clock. But food-wise, I have this in my algorithm right now. It keeps popping up on Facebook, like all these Super Bowl you know, comfort foods you can make.
Sure.
And the one that I want to try is like this pizza roll that has a hamburger inside. You know, what would you think about trying something that exotic or that detailed here on the day for the big game, Brian?
You know,
it's like a pizza meatloaf with hamburger inside.
Yeah, I think.
And you slice it.
Yeah, I think what you have to be, it's like beef Wellington almost with you know, the outside and the stuff.
It's
and
a then great
you got
idea.
You got the meat inside. This is my advice for like Super Bowl Sunday, if you're going to do this, don't take a chance on something you've never done.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Trial run on Saturday.
This is the big game.
If you want to like prep it a couple of days and try it out and think, I messed this up bad. I mean, you do not want to promise. Like, I'll do stuff for you guys, and I'll try it out before, and I'll think, Dawson hates this. Dawson's not going to like. But if I could hide.
The mayonnaise.
If I can hide the sour cream, or I can hide the cream cheese. How do I hide it? Do you cook it down? Like you with onions.
Mm-hmm.
You've had plenty of dishes that I've made for you that have onions in it.
Mm-hmm. Nice job.
I just don't tell you.
There you go.
I just don't. But I find a way. I think. But so my advice on Super Bowl Sunday, go with something that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And you know that the crowd, you mean, you got to think about who you're, you know, nothing worse than bringing a dish to a Super Bowl party and everything else is gone except your stuff.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Because somebody took a bite of it and they went,
nah,
not for me.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be careful when I bring, like, crawfish etouffee or something like that. Because, you know, people, there's some people that just don't like shellfish.
Yeah.
They don't like, you know, oh, it's crawfish. Oh, that's trash. That's not, you know.
Yeah.
I try and bring something, maybe a little bit of a, it's fun for me because of this Louisiana Super Bowl, that try and maybe make some dishes that would be kind of the Cajun.
Yes.
You know, little, the boudin balls or use andouille sausage or crawfish, shrimp. All the various things. I think dips are the best thing you can actually bring to a party. I really do. And don't go with the bad chips. Be creative. Maybe use a baguette. You know, get a French baguette. Slice up. Put bread. That's a better vessel for carrying instead of getting. Nothing wrong with scoops.
Yeah.
You know, but get something that maybe's a little bit different vessel that when they put it on the bread, it's a little bit more filling. And you're like, and people are like, whoa, that's
there. We go.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if non-cookers know that anxiety of when you prepare a dish.
Yeah.
And in your mind, it's not quite the vision or, you know, the taste.
Oh.
You're like, man, there's a little something off, but will people still love it?
Right.
You know, will people still like it? And you put that thing down on a table or a holiday, mm-hmm. and, you know, you notice it. You know, it gives me empathy for my mom, actually, when she would always ask us as kids, do you like it?
Yeah. I think,
you know?
That, remember, I did those, the Jamaican, the meat pie things,
yes.
You know, the yellow meat pie things. And it was funny because Reggie Atatula was still working for with us. And Reggie said it needed a little bit more spice to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needed a little bit more, you know, something, you know, maybe a little bit more curry to it, a little bit more of a flavor.
You take to that, Koji.
And I do, because he's absolutely right. But you also, I was sitting there thinking, if I make something that's going to blow you guys away too hot, it's not. It's just not enjoyable. It's, you know, there's some things that we eat, we're like, man, that's just, I can't eat any more of this. It's just too.
Better to keep it more tame.
R.I.P. to the ladies' room at 75 and 50.
Yeah, so I. But,
yeah, no kidding.
But Reggie said that to me, and I was like, ha, he's got it. He absolutely has this right
here's
now.
Our guy.
Yes, sir. Here he is.
Look at this.
A chef, a restaurateur, author. TV personality, starring several travel channel shows, best known for creating, hosting, and executive producing the Bizarre Foods franchise. It's Andrew Zimmern with us here on The Fan once again.
And now we do interviews.
That's right.
Now, here we are.
Wow.
All this week,
you know,
now
this is
we do an interview.
This is your Emmett.
Here's the deal.
Yes.
Here's the deal. I'm headed over here. By the end of the day, I'm late, and I'm not a late guy. I don't do late. You know, I have too much respect for what people are doing. And, you know, in the first part of my career, I was doing live local news, you know, live drive time radio, and I was in places running around trying to get Tiger Woods when he was doing it, you know, showing up for, you know, a golf tournament in Minnesota. And it's like, it is... To me, it's like it throws me right back. I'm telling people to go to break. We're over. We're done. You know,
let me tell you about this dish.
I'm hearing to, you know, so that people get an idea of this. I'm being walked around by my PR folks, and they're doing a fantastic job. So I see them stop. I know where I'm going. I see you guys. I can hear your voice, right, coming through. And as you say, I'm just like, God, whoever's the next guest sounds real, real. This guy sounds amazing. Anyway, it's good to see
you
again. How's everyone?
We're doing well. I imagine this town is amazing for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, from a food standpoint?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, I am me, so I do have an opinion on this. When you're talking about, you know, post-colonial contact food in America and what is American cuisine, when you want to really get into the nitty-gritty, the history of food and culture in America, we are all standing on native land. And we have to honor that pre-contact food, and we also have to understand that all other food that came after it is colonized food, and we need to recognize that. That being said, American food is not French food. It is not German food. It is not Dutch food. It is not foods of the Pacific Northwest that have an Asian overtone to them. American food, because we are such a melting pot, is the food of the South. And of the foods of the South, it all started coming over on boats in one of the most shameful periods of our history, on the backs of slave ships, yeah. You know, from Western Africa, coming up through the Caribbean, influenced by Spanish and French colonialism and the Caribe Indians and everything that they do, and became the food of the Gulf Southern experience that then kind of bled north to a certain point, and it met some of that German Lutheran food and became what it is today. So is New Orleans the best food town in America? Well, you can make that argument. I think New York is, for a whole bunch of other reasons, and happy to debate anyone on that. However, is New Orleans the most important food city in America? I think I can make that argument. And quite frankly, from a deliciousness standpoint, this is when they shine. And it's why I think the Super Bowl should just be here every single year. Mm-hmm. There are 680,000 people, something like that, that live in the city of New Orleans. They get 90 million visitors a year. They know how to slow, fast. They know how to turn it up for this thing. They're not overwhelmed by it. You know, God bless this city and the people who cook their food. And whether it's on a street corner, whether it's in a po' boy shop where it's, quote unquote, just a sandwich, that ain't just a sandwich, so don't say that. Or a fork and knife restaurant that is taking redfish and smothering it with a crab sauce piquant. There is nothing like New Orleans, and it is the only American city that when you say its name, you can smell it and taste it. And if you don't get that, then we're not friends. I mean, you just, if you don't even begin to understand that concept, yeah.
I know.
Right?
Absolutely.
I don't want to. You don't have to agree with me, but if none of that makes sense to you, you're not my people.
The descriptions, I love the way that you describe food. If someone were to say, hey, I'm going to New Orleans for the first time, what are some dishes that, I mean, they've got to try? You brought up the po' boy. That was the first thing I had, was a fried shrimp po' boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went with it.
It's really good.
What should I have done?
It's
should I have
really
done
good.
Oyster?
Well, I would.
Catfish?
I would go for the Andrew Zimmern Surf and Turf, and if you order that in a couple of the better places, make you my
they
sandwich.
They have the Andrew Zimmern where we went.
So shaved warm beef.
Yep.
Fried oysters on top. By the way, fully dressed.
Yeah.
So that's everything.
Of course.
Fried oysters on top, beef gravy. So it's like a carpetbagger steak, but on bread. Mm-hmm. And, my doctor says I shouldn't eat a lot of them, but I only have two a year, so I'm good with the full. I don't do the half.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're in front of me at Dom Elise's or any of the Parkway or whatever, and you order, you're by yourself, you're not 12 years old, and you order a half,
I agree.
I may say something to you.
I agree.
What are you doing?
I'm going to shame them.
I'm going to tap you on the shoulder. I'll say, I'll buy your other half.
Yes.
I'll buy your other half for you.
Yes. I'll eat it because I may be good for 1.5. Look, there's so many great foods here. I think what people, don't understand is that New Orleans is a high-to-low experience in the same way that all our great cities are high-to-low experiences. So you can go to Galatoire's, have a perfect piece of redfish or speckled trout, and it's smothered with a citrus beurre blanc and freshly picked crab meat, and it's $50, but it's going to curl your toes.
It will.
And you may like that with that level of service and that fork and knife. And by the way, sitting in that historic room, I don't care if you stop by there and just have a Diet Coke at the bar.
Right.
If you were in New Orleans and don't stop at Galatoire's to step back into history, that way, in that room with that staff, you are missing out on a quintessential New Orleans experience. By the same token, if you're not going to Willie Mae's Scotch House for a side of, butter beans and fried chicken, if you're not going to Dom Elise's or Parkway or any of those other places, and by the way, 100 recommendations on AndrewZimmern.com or on Spilled Milk, my Substack newsletter. Lots of info. There's just 100 places in the, Compare Le Pain, Herb Saint, any of Donald Link's restaurants, by the way. There's so many great restaurants in this town. A lot of those chefs are coming to Taste of the NFL on Saturday and helping us raise money to fight childhood hunger and contributing to Gen Youth, TasteOfTheNFL.com. Fighting childhood hunger, the biggest issue we have in America that is as outrageous and morally reprehensible a fact of American life as I could possibly imagine, that there's 14 to 20% of kids in America, depending on whose study you listen to, that don't know where their next meals are coming from, is in this country, the greatest country in the history of the world, is incomprehensible to me and bordering on genocide.
Well said.
Man, thank you for saying that stuff. Thank you for being a professional in every way, Andrew. We'll have to catch up with you for longer next year.
At any
time. Let's schedule it now.
Anytime. Where are we eating?
Yeah, let's
do it. San Francisco. Where are we eating? Make your reservations now. That's another good food town.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir, it is. Andrew Zimmern with
you
here in the G-Bag Nation as we're live on Radio Row. Our coverage brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. We're back with international football star Sammy Kadira here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.